Welcome, everybody. This is Coach Rush. Today's guest is from the United States, so this podcast will be in English. My aim with this podcast is to provide you with the best input for improving your health and fitness by interviewing coaches, therapists, personal trainers, and health experts. So my guest for today is Christina Macias, movement and breath coach with Primal Coding from Venice, California. Welcome, Christina. How's life in Cali?
It's great, Marcus. Thank you for having me. It is a beautiful day in California.
Great. You know, I've been attracted to your profile and the name Primal Coding because I consider myself to be a very primal guy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, many of your posts have something very unique, I think. So, you know, that feeling when you have a certain idea, but it's just brainstorming without structure. But you know you are onto something, and then someone comes along and brings it together in a perfect manner, or in a, like a book or in a post. And this is the feeling that I have with much of the stuff that you share. So you are on Insta and on YouTube, and I want to really dive into Primal Coding and what it means. I saw in your first video that you explained Primal Coding is not yoga, it's not fitness. It comes before that. It's like the basis of all. And it's about movement, breath, and showing the full human potential, what is possible. And so what is behind that terminology of Primal Coding? Mm-hmm. And just in your own words, Christina, what is behind that?
So first, I'm so grateful that my posts have affected you in such a way, because that's how I got to this point. That's how I created Primal Coding, is really, you know, my instinct to explore, you know, to not be satisfied with the answers that were given to me. And my background so my undergrad was exercise science. And then, you know, post-grad, I became a personal trainer, like kind of everybody does in that field. And then I became a physiologist working with fire and policemen. And I've done that for the past almost decade. So Primal Coding stemmed from this need to explain what yoga has been explaining, these same principles to the men and women of the fire and police service. And I think that is where it all started. They were they're the group that I was able to experiment what I was learning. And I too would, you know, explore maybe a specific pattern or idea or thought. And then the method that fully explained it would be shown to me. So every time I never truly sought out other people's methods of breath. I really wanted to figure it out on my own. And then I used those other methods to kind of, I guess, validate the principles that I've discovered, or highlight more of what I've discovered. Because, you know, I think all of us, we don't have to do it all ourselves, but coming to a point of exploration and then being gifted like the rest of it, like, okay, shoot, I made it this far, and somebody else has made it so much further and have mapped it out so I can explore further. And through all of this, I started to work more with clients and really, again, uncover these principles that I started to see across all these methods that would come to me, you know, or I would find in the vortex that is the internet, right? So, you know, Primal Coding, I don't want it to be a method, you know. Maybe in the future, sure, I want to educate the educators, and to call it a certification, you know, I don't foresee that to be the label, more so than I want to be more academic. Like, how, as a trainer, I got my master's in kinesiology as well. How do we incorporate this type of thought into that type of education? And I think that's also, you know, what's happening under the veil of Primal Coding. It's me just experimenting and exploring that.
Oh, that's very interesting, because I think what you are doing is more of applied knowledge, and that's really appealing. That is what I think at the end of the day, what matters. But on the other hand, it's cool that you say you want to make it in an academic style as well, because that's like the backup of it. So, anyways, continue what you do, because it's great. there's a saying, I think it's from an ancient Egyptian god, Thoth, and he said, "Life isn't breath." And I know that you have some pictures on your Instagram of ancient Egypt as well in your first on your first pictures there.
Oh, you went deep. You went deep. That was when my handle, that was before Primal Coding even. That was Adventures of a Hummingbird. That was my previous handle.
But the whole package,
It was there the whole time, you know? Primal Coding
it
was there the
must
whole
derive
time.
from somewhere. It must come from somewhere, and I'm interested in how you develop this whole concept, because the thing is that it's something unique, and you have to achieve it in the fitness and health market, I think, to brand yourself like you do, and this is what I found so appealing in
Mm-hmm.
your profile. So, why even bother with the breath, Christina? I mean, I saw that there are so many different types of breathing you're introducing, like the cannon breath or the ocean breath, the box breathing. What's the purpose of learning all of these different types of breathing? What's the aim?
So much. So let me gather my thoughts here. So the purpose of the breath. So I guess how I discovered my own breath and its purpose within me, I guess it starts there. And in my exploration started, with Kundalini yoga. I had actually when I was, so I'm 30, I'll be 32 in a couple weeks. Yay. So at about 25, I started grad school. At the same time, I was working with the firemen. At the same time, so trifecta, I had knee surgery, ACL surgery. And that was a long time coming. We can talk about injury too in a second, but I had a torn ACL basically for 10 years because I tore it when I was 13. So, it was the combination for me of being in an academic setting in grad school, having to heal my own injury, so my own exploration, and like, okay, how do I do this? Because I actually didn't have traditional physical therapy, I didn't have proper insurance, so I was really on my own for a lot of it. And then having this audience, be it my boss calling me up saying, "Hey, Christina, do you want to teach yoga to San Marcos Fire?" And speaking of, timing, it was right after I had fully felt confident in like, okay, I've explored breath enough where I think I can teach this. And literally a week later, my boss calls me, "Hey, you want to teach yoga?" Oh my God, I jumped at the chance. And then, before that, I was doing again a lot of observation. So I would, as a physiologist, I am doing ECG. So I'm hooking electrodes. I have them doing their resting, and I get to observe these. The their breathing patterns. And this is how it kind of started. Me just observing. I think everything starts with observation, right? And that's especially in the body. It's like when I work with clients, it's let's observe your current patterns. And once you observe them, they might be a little uncomfortable. And so I would have these men and women in this really, vulnerable state. They have their shirt off. I am shaving their chest. I'm putting electrodes on them. And that, and testing their body fat and doing these things that, really opened me up to seeing them. And I started to make connections between the type of personality that somebody was and then the type of breathing pattern that I saw. And I started to see all these men and women in this service having not only high anxiety, but then like back pain to accompany it. And then I started to notice the reverse breathing pattern. And that was the first step into teaching breath is noticing that the correlation between, anxiety and pain and br not being able to fully breathe into the belly, right? And I think that was the beginning of understanding the power of it. And so for the years after that, I developed a lecture called Breath Control is Stress Control. So I had the opportunity in the job I had, I was so blessed to have this job where I could create what I wanted to create. I could create a lecture and give it to my boss, and she's like, okay, sounds good to me. Here, you're going to this department. And I would spend, 3 days, and each day I would lecture the same lecture twice to a whole department. And I would say the same thing over and over and over again. And as you say things over and over and you teach to different audiences, you start to obviously gain a spectrum of experience and knowledge in the breath. And as I started to work with people individually, because I was very cautious too to apply these patterns. I knew that I was exploring, and I was my own teacher, and I respected that too, because I also there's the you know the idea that, okay, are you teaching something too soon? Do you have the knowledge? Do you have understanding of contraindications? And that's a fine line, in being a coach and pushing your limits, right? Do we create boundaries, or can we mold them and bridge them? And then also gently acknowledge, okay, this is out of my control or out of my expertise. This is a person that can help you. Anyway, so I think primal coding is my journey of exploration. And so I did that lecture for many years. And then one day I understood the breath and how to bring it to the belly. Then I thought I did. I think about it now, and I have many different methods to doing that. But I one day had this thought though, like, I don't know the science of this. Like, what? All these firemen are like, okay, this is cool, but like, can you, their logical mind is like, why? So that's when my journey started to transform into, okay, I understand the move theoretically and just in a yogic way how to teach these patterns, but what's really happening? And this was 4 or 5 years ago, and that was maybe like 6 years ago, and nobody was really talking about the breath then, not as much as they are now. And yeah, so I don't want to I'd rather I want like to go to the next question, because or do you have another question to add? Because that's kind of where I'm at now. It's a I tend to long-wind my answers, so
I literally have hundreds of questions, Christina. But
Perfect.
I think it's impressive because going out into the field, talking to people, making these lectures, that's the way you learn. That's the way you basically you get also the feedback from people because that's very important. So, very simple question. What does the inhale and the exhale say about a man or a woman? Is it simple?
Oh, I love this. So the box breath, or so the four corners of the breath, that's before the box breath. The box breath is the pattern that we're familiar with. You go online, you type in box breath, and the military uses it. They call it tactical breathing. Yoga uses it. It's popular in Brian McKenzie, power, speed, endurance. I really, side note, really like what he's created there. I really love that. He's doing a great job. And so I kind of lost my train of thought. So let me think, where am I going with this? Repeat the question one more time. So the inhale, the exhale. Sorry.
So,
Yes,
what does
personality.
the inhale and exhale say about, just in general, about a man or a woman?
Yes. So how somebody approaches each corner of the breath. So the inhale and then the hold. So you're talking about just inhale and exhale, but there's also the hold, the exhale, and then the bottom hold. So
Interesting.
what it tells me about a person is how they go through life. And I have an example actually of a client that I had yesterday. It was her first session. And that's the first pattern I take them through. I either lie them on their back or they're sitting up, and I just guide them into maybe an inhale three, pause, exhale three, pause. And then maybe I'll go inhale four and hold a little longer, and I'll slowly make the box bigger till they kind of lose the ability to stay with me in the pattern, if that makes sense, right? And so yesterday I would inhale, she would inhale for four, and then I would have her hold, but then she would exhale and she wouldn't want to hold. Like her body would not hold the breath. And I'm like, okay, let's start again. And I would just keep trying. And she was the most comfortable in an inhale three, only a pause, exhale three. And she opened her eyes and I go, so what's up with the holds? Are you comfortable in the holds? She's like, the holds are fine. I just don't want to do it. I'm like, I just don't, like, why hold? Why hold? Why do I want to hold my breath? And I just, and I laughed and I go, do you ever pause to smell the roses? She looked at me and just started laughing. She's like, no. Like she, it goes, has a hint of ADHD herself, you know.
Okay, kind so, of yeah. So you give out a certain pattern of breathing and your clients must try to copy that, right?
Yeah. And I'm just like, okay, can they easily translate my words into action? And this tells me a lot about somebody, you know. Some people are more uncomfortable. Like when they inhale, it feels like they just want to explode. They're like, I hate the inhale. Like the inhale is the worst. And then I'll have other people that are like, oh my God, I'm freaking out when I hold my breath out at the bottom. And so everybody has these different parts of these four corners that affect them differently. And it's usually, again, associated with their type of personality. So somebody that shows up and can hold and inhale four, hold four, exhale four, hold four, for like it's nothing. Like they're so, I can tell, I can feel their calm. You know, they are a more relaxed person. Like, okay, we don't have to start there. Like now we can get into business. Because that pattern is what I call the magnifying glass for exploration. So I'll repeat that again. The four corners of the breath, the inhale, the hold, the exhale and the hold, I consider the magnifying glass for exploration because I use that pattern in so many different actions and movements to slow down time so we can observe.
Okay, that makes sense. Wow, you're so energetic. Woohoo, that's a lot of input already. I mean,
sorry.
Okay, let's re-dissect this here because there are a lot of listeners who will just, think, wow, okay. The last thing was this box of these four pillars, like you say. Okay, that makes sense.
Yes.
You know, I'm a really big fan of like breaking things down to the essentials and make them as simple as possible. Mm-hmm. So what I found so intriguing about your work with the breath is the interpretation. Like you say, when somebody's in the inhale, it's like pulling things towards them. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, they want to suck it in. And
totally.
With the exhale, it's like, how is your ability to let things go, to release things? And that makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm. And I observed it in myself as well. And I observe it in other people. So what's your stance? What's your take on that?
Oh, absolutely. Like how you take your breath in is how you take in the world. So another story, I love telling stories to answer these questions. So I had this woman come to me and she actually was interesting. She didn't come to me because her life was in a horrible wreck or she needed to fix something. Her life was great. Like it was exactly like she had gotten to her point of like reaching her goals. And now she's like, oh God, it's all going to fall apart. like you hadn't thought past then. And she's like, what do I do now? Like, what do I do? What do I pull in? And so I observed her breath and her inhale was like really like pulling the air in. Right. Mm-hmm. And her exhale, her ability to lengthen her exhale was freaking awesome. Like I actually like timed it. It was like 30 second exhale and her inhale was so tight. And come to find out, she was an oboe player. She played a wind instrument from 8 years old to 18. And she was like 28 now, like at that point, or maybe like 30. Anyways, in her early 30s, maybe yet. Older than that. And what I realized was she didn't know how to allow air in. So up until that point, that pulling in of the air was great when she was reaching for something and she had goals. But she, when it came to a point of settling to that moment and relaxing into it, she needed to learn to create a passive ex or I'm sorry, a passive inhale. And it's and it, you would think that she definitely had the neurological capability was there, especially if you have that long of an exhale. Like obviously you're engaging muscles to hold that, you know, to exhale all of that air out. If you can imagine that, right? If you're exhaling a long exhale, you have to be contracting and am compressing the muscles of the torso. And then in that second that you inhale, you release those muscles. It's like a bellows, it draws air in. So that's a skill of learning how to draw air in and working with the transition from no breath to allowing air in. And that's and working and for her, smoothing out that process would allow her to relax into that moment. And again, it suited her well up until that moment in her life where she had everything that she did, you know, currently thought that she wanted, you know, obviously.
Okay,
So,
amazing. Let me stop you here. Can you
yeah.
elaborate on the point on the passive inhale and what happens in the body exactly there then?
So there's not this effort to inhale. There, I'm not, if most, if I tell most people to take a nice long inhale, your first instinct wouldn't be to fully exhale. And that's, and for me, if you tell me, okay, I want you to create the longest, there's, you know, I should say this, there's a difference between a long inhale in time and then is that constitute a large volume of inhale? So we can talk inhales too, and we can talk, you know, speed of the inhale, length of the inhale, and that within that length of time, how much volume is in that inhale. So, oh, the inhales, they're so amazing. but when we can allow air in, we are giving a break to all of the muscles that are compensating for this inability to allow air in. If that makes sense. So teaching people,
It's a relaxing moment for the
yeah.
muscles in that moment.
And I think a common thing that is taught with breath in a sense of meditation is to relax with their exhale. So I get all of these people who know how to, and it's a very crucial skill to have to be able to relax on the exhale. But the concept of relaxing on an inhale and expanding is not one that people fully grasp.
So interesting. Yeah, it's, you know, my mind goes to the yin yang symbol where you have, you know, inhale, exhale, obviously, with the white and the black, but within the white and within the black is the opposite again, like
Absolutely.
with the dots.
Absolutely. And I tell all my clients, and I just taught a class this morning, and I was just like, listen, there are no wrong breathing patterns. There are no wrong patterns connected to movement. If you are consciously trying to inhale in one movement, exhale in another, if you're playing around, oh, does this feel better on an inhale or an exhale? Like it's a, if you have the proper tools, you can explore all of that. They will elicit different, maybe physiological reactions, right? But you, if you're practicing with trust in your natural intelligence, you'll be able to also observe those effects, observe how your reality now shifts if you adjust a pattern and, you know, relax your inhale versus tense up your inhale or vice versa with your exhale.
Now, is the breath something completely individual to a human being, just like one's fingerprint?
It, yes,
Absolutely. In all the parameters you mentioned, like the length, the volume, is it completely individual for everyone?
Well, with the length, so there's four principles. If you, I don't know if you've probably seen the video on my YouTube page about the principles of the breath. Have you checked that out at all?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah.
Just I've, you know,
So I
watched it
think,
for a couple.
Yeah, so I think what the four principal patterns of movement are, I can increase my length or decrease length, speed, force, and time. Time representing the time it takes to complete a cycle of breath. Now, within a human, an individual, all of these four components will, or I guess, control of these components within an individual will be different. Yeah, absolutely. Their relationship with these four components is very is individualized and based on their movements, their actions, their traumas, their injuries, their movement, yeah, everything. So that's what's individualized, their relationship with these principal movements and actions.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like you say, because of everything that all the circumstances, everything that person experienced, it's all shaping the breath. And like you say, you can read so many things into it. So is that an ability you learned over the, I guess by experience as well, with every single person, you get better at reading that person just by the breathing pattern, right?
100%. And you know what I started to realize over time, again, that's where I, you know, want to tell people when you're learning anything, you know, especially the breath, like take your time. Especially with the breath, because it's internal, it's not like I can see, you know, an exercise and then okay, I can teach it. It's like you really have to practice that pattern to understand it. And then when you teach it, it comes from such a deeper place of experience, you know? And yes, the breath is that's what I was gonna say. It was although they have different relationships with these aspects, I will what I see is the correlations between okay, this person has this type of relationship with these actions for speed and so does this person. Wow, they have really similar personality types. So there is correlation and you know that type of thing too in this work and if that makes sense, yeah.
Yeah. Now, I guess it was from Tony Robbins, the motivational speaker. I heard the statement that you can control a conversation by breath. Do you think that's true?
I mean, Tony Robbins said it. I guess it has to be true. No, I'm just kidding.
It's Tony, it must be true.
It must be true, right? I mean,
I think
yes.
it's very, very interesting. So I've experienced, and I think he's right, because when you are trained in that, and if your breath is so much in harmony with, let's call it, all of your bodily processes, if you're in such a de-stressed mode, you will have an effect just by your presence and your breathing, probably subconsciously, or you know as well that we humans have, you know, more senses than we than on paper, so we can like experience or perceive more. And I think that the breath will be absorbed by the whole audience or by other people as well, and it will have an effect. But that's just in theory.
So I absolutely believe that, and as I begin to think about it, if you imagine having a conversation with somebody and they're so excited about something, and then you're so moldable, you're like receiving their excitement, and sometimes that can take over your whole physiology, right? And then their excitement kind of takes over everything, and that excitement is this physiology of a high breathing pattern, and then you guys are, I imagine, a conversation. Like you guys both kind of talking over each other because you're so excited and your breathing rate, you know, it's like how do you control the pace of a conversation? And I think that comes with your breath because as your breath breathing pattern is more calm, how you speak your words becomes more calm, right? Am I speaking on an exhale and pausing to inhale, or am I speaking on a hold as I'm holding my breath and I have to take a breath. I'm always catching my breath as I talk. So
Yes.
I think it, you know, breathing on an exhale and then taking that time to inhale and maybe taking a time to think about what you're going to say before you say it. It's a practice that I'm always practicing. Yeah, when I was young, I remember, oh, I just had a flashback of young 22-year-old Christina. I was a TA for the college that I went to after I graduated. And the most frequent constructive criticism was, "Christina, slow down." All the words are trying to rush out at the same time. And I could only imagine my breathing pattern matched that. So.
By the way, that would be my piece of advice as well. Yeah, that's a fountain of information that's beautiful. So we already crossed the half hour mark here, Christina. We will be ending this episode here, but I have a final question for this episode. And that is, I saw you doing these bowel movements in one of your videos, with your abdomen, like pulling your belly in, and then these weird sideways movements of the bowel. And that's something I want to learn as well because it's part of my daily morning routine to pull my belly in and out. I'm a great, Elliot Hulse. Maybe you know Elliot Hulse. He's one of my mentors, and he's also into bioenergetics and breathing and pulling the belly in and out. But also doing these side movements, I've seen very rarely, and I want to learn this as well. So how can I activate this?
It's really about lengthening your exhale, but at the end of your exhale, you are really sitting there and I'm holding all of the compression in. And as I hold that compression in and sit in that space, I will inhale without taking a breath. So I will exhale everything out, hollow out around my body. But then the inhale is when I perform the action of the inhale, it's like a suction. It draws my diaphragm kind of upward into my ribs. I don't, it's hard to, I guess, I've never actually taught anybody that. I'm still exploring it. Again, it's
But
a,
that's an idea for doing a video, a tutorial, isn't it?
yeah, yes. And also, I know a yoga tune-up, Jill Miller does a really great exercise to explore this principle of the suction. So if you place your hands up over your head and bring your thumbs together, so you're hooking your thumbs, and you'll fully exhale everything. And then without inhaling, you're going to try to expand your rib cage and try to push it outward. So exhale and then try to pull the rib cage apart, and you'll feel the suction of even the pelvic floor upward. And you'll try to expand the ribs. Does that make sense? I don't know.
Absolutely. In theory, yes.
Yeah. And so playing around with that, it's again, it's playing around, let's see, with the corner, with the bottom of the exhale and the bottom hold. And notice that that's the space you're exploring, and that space will allow you to learn how to produce that action,
Cool. Yeah, I'll try. I'll practice. So
I
great, great first segment. Thank you so much, Christina.
Yeah. Thank you
And
for having me.
is there, beside your Instagram and YouTube page, any website people can go? Because I saw you have a link tree, but is there like primalcoding.com or any website like that?
Yes, there's primalcoding.com. And then at
Oh,
the end of
cool.
the month, I am coming out with a guide to a deeper breath. So it can be 7 days. So it's 7 days worth of lessons. But each lesson can be practiced for a week. You know, it could be so 7 weeks or 7 days. I have a guide to a deeper breath. So of not a deeper breath of volume, but a deeper breath of awareness. And what are all the components that allow us to have a better understanding and relationship with our breath? So I'm really excited to share that with everybody. And that should be coming out hopefully the beginning of October, end of September. It's kind of the plan. So stay tuned and look out for that on my Instagram and YouTube website. I'll have everything posted.
Brilliant. Having a relationship with your breath. How about that? So, dear listeners, thank you for listening, and we will be back with episode 2 with Christina Macias. See you. Take care.